The Sunday format notes with sadness the passing of our regular political cartoonist, Matt, who died last week in a peg-related camping accident near Nîmes.
He is a keenly missed friend and was a vital member of the creative team. So as a dedication from all of us here on the front desk, we have specially produced this edition of the Sunday format for Matt.
Contents page.
This week in the all-new Sunday format.
You are the weakest kink. Goodbye. Ex-frontman for the Kinks, Ray Davis, tells Adam Cricket how the rest of the band voted him out. Page 33.
Bully for you. The current trend in today's schools is to discourage bullying. But do we risk stamping out a future generation of middle managers? Full report in Lifestyle, page 28.
My big column. Julian Clary's first look at why he no longer wishes to be associated with gratuitous sexual innuendo. Page 69.
A legal stitch-up. David F. Driscoll investigates the rights of the patient when it comes to suing incompetent medical practitioners for negligence during surgery and discovers that most claimants don't have a leg to stand on. Page 44.
Come again? The second part of Julian Clary's look at why he no longer wishes to be associated with gratuitous sexual innuendo. Also on page 69.
Parents' page. The page for parents of all ages, from 8 to 80.
As every working mother knows, having a full-time job is a full-time job. A recent report suggests that young children whose mothers work are 70% more likely. Linda Cartwright couldn't afford a nursery place, so she married a drug dealer. Now both her children are in local authority care, and she's free to pursue her career as a childminder.
Are you jeopardising your child's tomorrow?
New research shows that 93% of all young offenders didn't go to extracurricular French lessons. None of the current inmates of Broadmoor ever attended a preschool drama club. And for every hour your child is denied access to a pony, experts believe that his or her chances of becoming a chronic alcoholic rise by a factor of 12.
What to do with the kids this weekend?
Take them to a face-painting workshop.
Take them to a shop-painting workface.
Take them to a south-facing shoe shop.
Leave them at your mum's.
The new Sunday format. News sections.
This week in your...
Innovative.
New Sunday format.
Three innovative news sections.
Innovative.
Everything that's innovative in the world before it happens.
Shiny.
Everything that's glossy in one glossy section that's actually more shiny rather than glossy, with very shiny paper that doesn't get wet so easily in the bath.
Three this week in this week's Sunday format.
A flat pack self-assembly IKEA wardrobe for every reader.
Please note, newspaper may weigh more than usual. Frank Dawes. A day on the dark side.
Each week, Frank Dawes spends a day experiencing the dark side of Blair's Britain. Last week, he was homeless for a day. This week, he spends a day being a single mum.
My mission, to spend a whole day being a single mother. Experiencing the loneliness, pressures, the stress of juggling a career and children.
8 a.m.
I wake to the sound of Classic FM on my first morning as a single mum. Two children are depending on me for their food, clean clothes, health, education, and entertainment. Luckily, they are both at boarding school, so I'm able to have a quiet morning in the garden.
10 things this country is unhappy with.
Health.
Transport.
Infrastructure.
Education.
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 Politics.
Government.
Commerce.
The environment.
Culture.
Sport.
The national identity.
The state of the nation.
The state of things.
The state of the past.
The state of the future.
The state of British comedy.
10 things this country is happy with.
The Tate Modern. 1 p.m.
Pruning roses in the sun has given me quite a thirst, so I pop down to my local inn for a modest glass of Chardonnay. But as a parent, I need all the energy I can get, so I order a plate of mussels in white wine and garlic sauce. I write a postcard to the kids, one for both children, because as a single mum, money is tight. Then I remember that they are at different schools. Oh well. One of them can always afford it.
The six W's.
Each week we stop a random member of the public in the street and interview them in strict accordance with journalism's 10 commandments. The six W's. Who, what, where, when, why, and how.
This week...
Claire Conan. Age 20. From France.
Top left.
Who are you?
Claire Conan.
What are you?
I am French.
Where are you?
In England.
When are you?
I don't understand.
Why are you?
I don't understand.
How are you?
Yes.
The pressure of writing two cards might send me over the edge, and I know how important it is as a single parent to conserve energy.
3 p.m.
I walk home and realize that in two short weeks, both my children, who I carried inside me for 9 months, would be at home again. Make a note to book them into summer camp as soon as possible.
8 p.m.
They're showing Titanic on TV. But no sooner have I settled down with the tub of pralines and cream than the phone rings, and it's Jackie, the 6-year-old. Luckily, it's during the adverts, so this time I do pick up. Once again, I am plunged into the stress of parenthood and decide that, yes, she can sign up for pony riding lessons.
12 a.m.
I climb into bed, exhausted. I had no idea what a challenge it would be. It seems so easy, yet I think it's the hardest assignment since I spent an afternoon being a northerner.
How the Other Half Lives.
The Sunday Format's pull-out guide to what people who aren't like you might be doing.
Dog racing.
Watching EastEnders on a big telly.
Having a fight.
Getting pregnant.
Travelling on a bus.
Calling their supper by the wrong name.
Enjoying themselves.
Cruciality.
Inside story.
A granite cliff in wildest Cornwall might not seem the likeliest place to encounter up-to-the-art, state-of-the-minute metropolitan sophistication, except that you'd be wrong if that's what you thought, because you can, in fact, actually, however unlikely you thought it would be to be the case. Or perhaps you've never thought about it, in which case, think about it now.
India Spago reports.
Cornwall has, truth to tell, never been my favourite place to visit. Not so much because I don't like Cornwall per se, en soi, or indeed, and sick, but rather because I'd never visited it before, and so had no means of assigning it a category of preference. And so, when I was offered the assignment to assess the new state-of-the-minute soi-disant living space of Cornelius Garmondsway and his pretty-enough young wife Cornelia, I accepted it with a very real sense of visiting somewhere I'd never visited before, which is a general rule I always like doing at least once, if only for the first time. Cornwall proved to be a long way from London, although when I wailed at the prospect of 5 hours on the train, the man at the ticket office pointed out that any less than 5 hours and I'd be getting off before I'd got to where I was going. The directions Cornelius had provided proved utterly meticulous and easy to follow, thanks to him also having given me his mobile phone number, which I called 8 times from the taxi, because in a perhaps subconscious act of resistance, I'd left the directions at home in London, in the bedroom of my Georgian house in London, lying on the 18th century Dutch dressing table, which has been described by experts as the finest example of its ilk in the whole of London, and therefore Britain, and possibly the world.
What's in my washing machine?
A guide to freshly washed celebrity garments, destined for the airing cupboard.
Today, BBC newsreader Harriet Cass. Blue linen T-shirt, black chinos, red and pink pattern swimming costume, yellow beach towel, 3 pairs of knickers, red and yellow hooped blouse.
Has the world gone global?
The Garmondsway residence lies somewhat off the beaten track. You take the beaten track, which runs off the main road between Truro and somewhere else with an odd name, and there, just somewhat off at the other end, lies the Garmondsway residence. A disused mine shaft with a Belgian sleet and tinted glass vestibule constructed around it, rising out of the timeless moorland like something timeful, is the first hint that this is no ordinary disused mine shaft. I press my finger against the green doorbell button, which was difficult to find because it was the same green as the door, which was the same green as the moor. But then, as if by magic, I heard a doorbell ring in the interior, and seconds later, Cornelius answers the door, just like someone would in London.
This is what we like to call the entrance area,
says Cornelius, leading me into the entrance area. He's a tall, handsome man with dark, mysterious eyes and lean but powerful limbs. He is casually clad in faded jeans and denim shirt, not unlike someone would wear in London, to be casual, but with the air somehow of someone who wishes he were living not here but elsewhere, perhaps in London, with a woman who appreciated his true value.
Ungraspable concepts. Enormous notions of the universe explained in one sentence for people too busy to read up on them.
21. The Bible. Old and New Testament.
Darkness, light, sky, sea, land, trees, flora, fruit, vegetation, fauna, birds, beasts, fish, fowl.
Man, woman, sex, death.
Next week, Melvin Bragg's radio programme. In our time.
Advertisement.
Would you like to sponsor a coffee shop in Africa?
It's hard to believe, but many villages in Africa are still without coffee shops.
But you can help change all that.
Just £1.50 will buy a small African child a latte, a mocha or a cappuccino.
Just £2.50 will provide an espresso or decaf espresso.
As little as £10 will mean a jar of biscotti.
And just £500 will give them a solid silver state-of-the-art Azaleza percolating machine with contoured handles and easy 20 spoons.
His wife, Cornelia, smiles and shakes my hand. She's blonde and petite, but with the kind of figure that will go to seed once she hits 30, I note with a mournfulness for the cruelty of time and sympathy for Cornelius.
We have designed the whole place according to concepts.
Cornelius explains in his succinct, understated way.
The concept is to reflect in the nature of each room the stages of development in a relationship.
As Cornelia unnecessarily, but she has not finished.
The entrance area expresses the idea of just meeting someone, which is why the decor and furnishings are somewhat stark and formal, yet at the same time potentially welcoming.
I confess it is a fascinating concept to Cornelius.
The floor comes from the same quarry in Belgium as the outer vestibule.
Cornelius explains in his self-effacing way.
It was damned expensive, but we can afford it, so what the hell?
He continues modestly.
10 buzzwords.
Chop jockey.
Poodle faker.
Pazcan.
Jub jub.
Spoon worker.
Guffer buff.
Swazhead.
Fogwomp.
Gargle-bard.
Moosey-moosey-moose-moose.
Gardening.
City style.
Archie Smith calls in on Miranda Hope, author of the bestseller Happiness is a Postage Stamp Garden.
The first thing that strikes one when one meets Miranda for the first time is her tiny, tiny hands. So it came as no surprise when she showed me to the garden, and it really was the size of a postage stamp.
Cornelia persists with her passive-aggressive hostility by asking if I would like to try sitting on one of the Turkish white oak banquettes. We proceed into the next room where the decorative motif is large crystals inserted into the carved-out living rock, while sumptuous armchairs placed at respectful distances from each other furnish the room's only furnishings.
The idea is that the crystals represent huge chunks of broken ice,
says Cornelia.
And the idea is that our guests come in here when the ice is starting to be broken, metaphorically.
Having made this statement of the obvious, she giggles irritatingly, while Cornelius puts a graceful, powerful arm around her shoulder in a perhaps unconscious gesture, which to me seems full of despair. A vain yet noble attempt to rekindle in himself the spark that he knows in his heart of hearts has died between him and his vacuous child bride.
Future perfect.
This is the future.
Picture, top right.
It's the size of a cigarette packet, and it does everything your mobile phone, PC and personal organizer does. Of course, this is only a prototype. It won't be available in the shops until 2003, by which time it will be obsolete, superseded by this.
Picture, facing page.
It's the size of a matchbox, and it does everything the other device does, but better. Of course, this is only a prototype. It won't be available in the shop.
Literality.
Hardbacks. F.P. Leverton.
Review of the year, books and stuff.
Reviews the latest novel by T.J. Anderson. Portobello Ponce.
The shallow champagne charlatans who lunch in Ladbroke Grove will love this so-called scathing satire on the modern novel. Oh, how their giant egos will be massaged by this thunderous tale of literary jealousy, as they probably call it, although it is in fact more like a slow drizzle of drivel that dribbles off the page like a trickle of treacle. The trouble with Portobello Ponce, oh lordy me, where do I begin, is that T.J. Anderson doesn't write prose so much as Prozac. His hero, brackets my italics, T.J. Sanderson, embarks on a series of spurious adventures in search of his literary muse, and ends up literally in Literary Muse, a fashionable terrace in Ladbroke Grove, where all the successful English novelists reside. As he rides on the swings and roundabouts of outrageous fortune, brackets my metaphor, we're supposed to believe that Sanderson's physical voyage is akin to Anderson's own metaphorical journey, a seaside holiday of the mind, an excursion to the Bognor Regis of my cranium, brackets his lumbering phrase.
Future perfect.
This is the future.
Picture, bottom left.
It's the size of a cigarette packet and is used as a protective covering for your cigarettes. It comes with this.
Picture, bottom right.
It's the size of a matchbox and contains flammable wooden sticks.
The whole house was carved out of the granite cliff by local craftsmen.
It was important to us that we contribute to the local economy,
adds Cornelia in her patronising way. And where does one go after the ice is broken? I inquire demurely.
Well, the dining room is through here,
says Cornelius impeccably, trying to mask his resentment at the presence of his gold-digging trollop, which prevents him expressing his true desire to show me to the bedrooms.
And the bedrooms are through here,
says Cornelia, in a desperate attempt to remain in control of the situation.
The Infinancial.
Owning a boat can make you rich.
So is a report published this week by Liverpool University, following research into the likely makeup of the great and the good in today's society. The findings showed that anyone owning a boat was 10 times more likely to be wealthy than their non-boat-owning counterparts.
Erratum.
We apologise for an error in last week's edition of the Sunday format. In the article, Do We Really Look Like Our Pets?, the photo caption which read Mr. Bentley
right
and his dog Eddie
left
should in fact have been Eddie
right
with his dog Mr. Bentley
left.
The Heavy Book Club.
Choose any three heavy books for just 99p. All our books are guaranteed over 3 kilograms. Join the Heavy Book Club and choose from among thousands of back-breakingly hefty works. Your only obligation is that over the course of 1 year, you agree to buy your own weight in books.
On the way, the self-proclaimed Portobello Ponce encounters a ragbag of scarcely believable oddballs. An electric epidemic of eclectic eccentrics, brackets my alliteration, who would not seem out of place on the pages of Pynchon, but feel strangely unwelcome here, like uninvited guests to the grand opening of Anderson's novel, brackets my simile. What would have been far more interesting, I hesitate to hazard to venture to suggest, may perchance have been a glimpse into the darker underbelly of West 11, a braver sojourn into the seamier side of swinging London, something, in fact, not unlike Notting Hill Nonce, brackets my novel. A proper passage into the seedy shebeens and brooding blues clubs that litter the loose ends of Latimer Road like a lonely, lowly carousel of despair. Jack could feel his head pulsating to the throbbing rhythm of the heavy dub sound, like the plaintive echo of the lost child in the Kingdom of Narnia.
She goes on. The bedrooms are where I've had most of my influence.
I don't doubt it. I riposte with a sweet smile. For some reason, she infers a backhanded compliment in my words, and her face sours, briefly revealing her true, conniving strumpet's nature.
Well, perhaps you'd like a cup of tea before we go any further,
suggests Cornelius, trying to diffuse the mounting tension generated by the paranoia of his trophy spouse.
The Sunday format crossword. Exmer is on holiday. This week's crossword is set by Rallon Tando. One down.
Scurrilous man stole my kidney. 7.
3 across.
Late night jazz upsets Alan Bennett, we hear. 9.
3 down and 21 across.
People often talk about it. 6.
5 across.
Monsoon tigers fall backwards over greasy spoons. 8.
17 down.
They broke into the flat and messed up all the bees, we hear. 10.
7 across.
Trouser elbow. 9.
18 down.
Belgian chin music. 3.
Television. The week ahead, ahead, in full, in brief.
Saturday.
BBC Two, 7 p.m.
I love the 1590s. This week focuses on 1592. Once again, professional rent-a-gobs Kate Eyre and Paul Thornton appear alongside even less famous non-entities to talk about how great the plague was, or something, like they'd know. This reviewer recommends you do something better with your Saturday night, like killing yourself. Or better still, the controller of BBC Two.
Saturday.
BBC Two, 8 p.m.
I love Yesterday. A look back at what happened with yesterday's television, pop, rock, celebrities, sweets and fashion. Amazing how much of this stuff you'd forgotten. More please, BBC.
Saturday.
BBC Two, 9 p.m.
I love 3001. A motley crew of not very famous comedians, actors and cultural commentators imagine the sort of things we might be reminiscing about in the year 3010. Featured items include futuristic sweets called cyber spangles and futuristic fashions such as cyber flares. Ho-hum, shrug, yawn, sigh.
The new Sunday format.
Perspectives.
Our new section dealing entirely with things that the busy bohemian, intellectual, go-getting, sexually active, globe-trotting, retired A12 pre-university person who one day will change the world or at least set it on fire with a groundbreaking new novel would ever need a perspective on.
We repair to the kitchen, a perfect reproduction of the traditional Tuscan cucina. Tasteful, functional, spacious and completely wasted on a feckless bimbo like Cornelia, who would probably overload her synapses if she tried to boil an egg and answer the phone at the same time.
I've always dreamt of a space like this to cook in since I qualified as a chef de cuisine in Paris.
The toast of Hollywood.
Anthony Brackenbury argues that conventional accounts of the history of film are missing one vital slice.
The 1997 disaster film Volcano was promoted with the strapline, "The coast is toast." Of course, this explicitly refers to the fiery destruction of the Californian coast. This is the subject of the film. But I do not think it too fanciful to see a second meaning. The main coastal city is Los Angeles, and by extension, Hollywood. And since its inception, Hollywood has had a peculiar obsession with the grilled breadstuff, commonly called toast. In a very real sense, then, Hollywood
is toast,
says the trust fund tart, as if her lies are any less transparent than the huge window above the marble double sinks with its breathtaking view across the picturesque little cove 400 feet below.
But what with teaching at the Sorbonne and 4 years in African refugee camps with Médecins Sans Frontières, I never thought I'd have the time or money,
says Sir Jezebel with the Mother Teresa fantasy.
Although it's funny,
says Cornelius, butting in nobly to save his worthless succubus from any more demeaning mendacity.
When Cornelia was working in Calcutta, Mother Teresa told her that one day she would have a large Tuscan kitchen as a reward from God.
And then you met Cornelius and put his fortune to good use, I ask, with perfect ambivalence. They both laugh inappropriately.
Oh, good heavens. When Cornelia met me, I was a penniless drug addict in the slums of Bombay. She saved me from squalor and destruction. I owe all this to her. She gave me back my life. She saved my life.
He collapses, weeping into the arms of his fleshpot, who has clearly hypnotized him into this delusion of worthlessness and dependency. I make my excuses and leave. I never was invited to see the bedrooms, doubtless because the sheets in every one of them lay fetid, stained and wrinkled with the evidence of the base ways in which this latter-day Messalina, this 21st century Circe, had beguiled this good man and ensnared him in the lascivious trusses and traps of mindless, spiritually barren copulation.
India Spago presents Why I Hate Cornwall.
Gastronomy.
Where to eat.
Peter suggested we go to a proper greasy spoon for our lunch. Never one to turn down a dare, I agreed. 5 minutes later, we were in Rosa's Caff, each tucking into a fry-up. Around us, builders and cabbies ate bubble and drank sweet tea. There's an honesty and an authenticity about Rosa's that puts the more fashionable foodie gastrodomes to shame. However, the wine list is limited, and they don't accept Visa.
The crucible in which the filmic significance of toast was forged is Harold Lloyd's 1924 picture, The Kid Brother. Lloyd tries to help Mildred Davies in the kitchen while she's engaged in preparing something which, while it is not seen, one can safely presume is toast. Lloyd, the perpetual underdog for whom life always lands butter side down, needs the sustenance of toast to complete him. He needs a round of bread to become a rounded person. While his co-star spreads butter, Lloyd spreads mayhem. And you cannot have one without the other, the film perhaps seems to say.
The new Sunday format.
Opinions.
Everything you should have an opinion on, and what, in one easy-to-read section that fits in your pocket.
Design classics. The pin.
Whether it's stuck in a notice board, holding a carnation in your buttonhole, or protruding from a voodoo effigy, the pin is a design must-have.
Its combination of simplicity, elegance and practicality make it a style icon like the Heinz ketchup bottle, the Ames Eiffel chair or Staples.
Says Sally Groves.
Top left.
Lecturer in design cognition at Morecambe College of Further Education.
The pin is a design with a point, both literally and literally again, but with a different meaning of the word point in the second case.
Celebrities past and present who have used pins include
Davina McCall,
T.S. Eliot,
Edward the Confessor,
Ted Danson from Cheers,
Alexander the Great,
Isambard Kingdom Brunel,
Ron Pickering,
Gandhi,
Gary Wilmot,
Rasputin.
From this point on, toast is most prominent by its absence. There is, quite pointedly, no toast at all in Easy Rider. And would it be entirely ludicrous to suggest that this is the most important thing about the film? It is as if Hollywood is so burdened with the theme of toast, it reacts by making films that ostensibly have nothing to do with toast at all. This negation of toast reaches its zenith in Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. Bruce Willis is shocked into gunning down John Travolta by a toaster flicking up. But what is in the toaster? Toast? Nothing so linear for Tarantino. It is a Pop-Tart, toast's postmodern alter ego.
10 place names that make great children's names.
Troy.
Paris.
Brooklyn.
Chad.
Padua.
Plymouth.
Cherbourg.
Denmark.
Telford.
Jeff.
10 dance musics.
Drum and bass.
Happy Hard House.
Deep Jungle Speed Garage.
Chill Out Jungle.
Broken Beat Swing Core.
Flavad Flatbeat Jam Jam.
Happy Gappy Rare Sweat.
Fat R&B DJT Retro Funk's Box Bag Beat.
Trip Hop Hip Hop Dib Dab.
Transglobal Bleep Mix.
The argument could be made in certain circumstances by someone that this is because modern directors believe that toast, like the face of God, cannot be looked at directly. And now that we have charted the pivotal role of toast in the history of film, can we possibly solve a mystery from one of the films already mentioned? In Pulp Fiction, there is a briefcase, the contents of which we never see, but which causes wonder and amazement in whoever gazes inside it. It could perhaps be suggested that it would not be beyond the bounds of possibility to assert that the contents of that briefcase could not be decisively proved not to have been some toast.
Next week, Anthony Brackenbury discusses the 35 themes contained in the first two sentences of Dombey and Son.
Me and my dry cleaner.
One of Britain's leading personalities and their dry cleaner talk about their uniquely important relationship.
This week, Raphael Rogers, Chief Account Access Creative Consultant at Marketing Business Dynamics Limited, and Jeff Dench, dry cleaner.
Raphael Rogers.
I first visited Jeff's premises in 1997, actually only because my then long-term dry cleaner was closed for Yom Kippur. It's a piece of serendipity I find rather terrifying. I would never have laid eyes on Jeff were it not for the Jewish Day of Atonement, a festival which has no meaning for me whatsoever.
Jeff Dench.
My father was a dry cleaner and I inherited the business when he died 12 years ago. In 1994 I relocated to Chalk Farm and I guess Mr. Rogers first came in a couple of years after that.
Raphael Rogers.
I was having a toga pressed and cleaned and Jeff did an immaculate job, that goes without saying. But what really impressed me was the personal emotional investment. I felt very close to him from that day and he's been a true friend and mentor ever since.
Jeff Dench.
The shop's very busy and obviously we do get a load of people through the door, but I'm pretty sure I know Mr. Rogers. He's the Canadian guy, right? He's an electrician. I hope he's very happy with the job we do.
Raphael Rogers.
I see Jeff as being, as it were, the long plastic covering over my life, spiritually. He seals me hermetically, protecting me from the dust and grime of existence. With Jeff, you always get a free coat hanger, and that coat hanger is called love. We don't socialise much, but he's central to my life, and I know he feels the same about me.
Jeff Dench.
The main worry I have is the cost of ground rent in London. It's crippling, and it's only going to get worse. If my father could see all this, I don't know if he'd want to be a dry cleaner now.
Raphael Rogers.
Jeff cleans my non-machine washable clothes. I pay him. If you want to be an unreconstructed cynic, that's how you'd see our relationship. But I know that a couple of weeks after I've seen Jeff, I'll find a little label fixed with a plastic tag that I forgot to remove. And that label will be attached to my heart.
Jeff Dench.
We also offer key cutting and shoe repair service.
Contents page.
In expanded form in this week's Sunday format.
Dr. Doctor, Raj Basord and Mark Porter exchange comic quips. Page 50.
Do teeth matter in a modern romance? Page 6.
How we haven't yet met yet. Page 25. Celebrity legover.
Call me Ishmael.
Tupperware. The new Capo de Monte.
Two fat ladies. 88.
10 fruits that are now.
10 occupations that are
10
in.
10 Downing Street.
10 things that are bigger than a
10
cat.
10 new dates for your 10 diary.
10 essential equipment.
10 occupations that are out.
10 ways to improve yourself.
10 dance music.
10 things this country is happy with.
10 things that could kill you.